This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Soybeans with a red tinge are coming north. Todd Gleason reports these won't be raised on the red soils of Alabama, but rather from the iron-rich lands of Brazil.
Soybeans raised on red clay soils rich in iron pick up a little of the color. USDA says about 90 million bushels of those possibly red-tinged beans will be imported into the United States this year. That's not happening because U.S. farmers raised a small crop last year. They didn't. It is happening, however, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good, because soybean exports from the United States have been extraordinary. That's still the case, even though the exports usually stop in the second half of the marketing year.
It really does. I mean, it's just like turning a spigot on full blast and then pretty much turning it off. And we're in that process now of turning it off, but we're still shipping a few million bushels each week. And frankly, even though it's a small amount, it's probably still exceeding the rate that we need to reach the USDA projection of 1.6 billion bushels. And so when you look at the balance sheet, to make it work, it's going to force very large imports of soybeans into the U.S. yet this late spring and summer. USDA now saying 90 million bushels will find their way into the U.S.
It is an unusual situation.
It means we'll use more of the U.S. soybeans than we would have without that large South American crop, but we'll offset that by importing those soybeans. So the bottom line is, I think, probably doesn't affect the carryout situation. Either way, we would be at pipeline supplies, but we probably would have been at much higher prices even because if the South American supplies had not been there.
Those supplies are available and shipping into the United States. Again, if the United States Department of Agriculture is correct, about 90 million bushels will arrive on U.S. shores this marketing year. I'm Todd Gleason.
The leaders of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and Senate Environment and Public Works Committee released the conference report for the Water Resources Reform and Development Act Thursday afternoon. During the Tri-State Development Summit held earlier this month in Hannibal, Missouri, Iowa's Republican Governor Terry Branstad talked about the issue of modernization of locks and dams on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers.
This is a critical issue for this whole region, and we want to see more attention given to the Mississippi River. They have done some things in the Ohio River and other places, but we think it's overdue and needs to be addressed, and we are willing to partner with them.
Illinois Congressman Dick Durbin, Mark Kirk, Sherry Bustos, and Rodney Davis announced that key provisions of their bipartisan legislation to help speed up repairs and upgrades on the aging locks and dams were included in the WERDA conference report. That legislation seeks to improve the nation's water infrastructure through public-private partnerships and help expedite projects, including lock and dam modernization along the Mississippi and Illinois rivers, while saving taxpayers money. The governor says he and Durbin don't agree on much, but they agree on this issue.
We know that probably the Corps of Engineers and the federal government doesn't have the resources to do as much as needs to be done. That's why we'd like to see a public-private partnership and get the states bordering on the Mississippi River and private sector investors involved as well.
The Tri-State Summit grew out of flood-fighting efforts in Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri in 1993 and includes 35 counties and nearly 500,000 people. Organizers have hosted 10 summit gatherings in the organization's 18-year existence. George Pence of Macoupin County has been in the berry business off and on for 35 years, but this will be his last year with George's berry patch as he plans to retire. I asked him about his career in the berry business.
At various periods of time in the last 35 years, we had apples and peaches, raspberries, and a lot of pumpkins, sweet corn, and things like that. At one time, we did about 40 acres. But we've cut back down now, and so we're not doing nearly as much. Probably about 2.5 acres of strawberries is what I got right now.
Pence said working in the berry business has been quite a learning experience.
It's basically a learning factor to learn how to grow them and control the weeds and the grass in your berries. And you have a lot of things. Where do you buy your boxes at, you know, to pick the strawberries in, and where do you buy them so that you get a reasonable price? And what kind of fertilizer you use and sprays and things like that. you have to learn all of that. And so the county extension has a strawberry school over at Mount Vernon every year. And you go over there and you learn a lot of stuff, and they have vendors over there to sell you what you need. And it's just a long process of learning.
Over his years of learning, though, Pence has found his personal favorite berry to grow.
Well, we only grow one variety here. We've experimented with other varieties. We don't have they don't yield as much. We grow what they call a honey eye, and it was propagated in New York. And it will take a minus 20 degree below zero temperature, one of the few berries that will. They produce a lot of berries. Now, berry season, when you have one variety, lasts about 18 days and they're all gone. But the honey eye proved to be the best berry we could get at the present time. And we've tried a lot of different varieties and we didn't have a lot of luck with them. And one other thing I'd like to mention, my great-grandson is 2 years old, had eaten California berries. He thought they were apples because of the red outside and the white inside. Berries we grow are totally red inside and very juicy. California berries and Florida berries, the only one way to handle them to get some juice out of them is freeze them and then slice them up, freeze them, and then break them out and thaw them out. You'll get a little bit of juice.
Pence's experience has not only given him perspective on what berries work best, but has also allowed him to observe how the business has changed over the years.
The changes, big changes, is the farmer's market. The farmer's market, there's farmer's market in every little town anymore, and it's a place to take your berries to sell them. We looked into that, we experimented into it, we got into it, and we had good luck. But I have to be here to sell the berries for you pick and pick berries, so I can't go to the farmer's market. My kids are all working, so they can't go. But there's a farmer's market every day of the week, almost. Some places you've got 3 or 4 farmer's market in the area you can attend, but you have to have people to pick the berries there and so on. We went to Edgarville one time with about 400 quarts of berries, and we sold out in a couple hours, and my daughter came home. But what happened was we were selling them cheaper than the other people. We thought it was a reasonable price, but they were cheaper. And the next that evening, I got a phone call from a couple of the growers, and they were pretty upset with me for undercutting them. But I didn't know I was undercutting them. I just sell them what I thought was a reasonable price.
That's pretty interesting. So the way of selling berries has changed over the years.
It has changed over the years, and I think you have to, a lot of the places are making it a family-friendly place to pick berries. You know, they let the kids in, and they have the merry-go-rounds and so on. That's changed quite a bit, too. I don't do that. I never have did it, and I don't want to do it, but I think that if somebody buys this place and continues to grow berries and expand, they're going to have to be more family friendly. That's going to be the wave of the future, though. I mean, that's what everybody's doing right now, family friendly berry patches.
Reflecting on all his years in business, Pence shared what his favorite part has been.
I think satisfied customers. If people are happy with their berries and they know that they're going to get a good eating berry versus berries that are brought into the state, they enjoy them more. And most of your older people who grew up with homegrown strawberries and have been eating them for years and years versus the California berries, they really enjoy the berries that we grow. And we have people constantly calling us wanting to know when they're going to be ready and so on.
For those interested in visiting George's Berry Patch before Pence retires, he gave some information.
Well, we're open 7 days a week from 7 to 7. We're a mile north of Livingston, Illinois, on the West Frontage Road. Our road going to Staunton, we're 3 miles south of that. And that's exit 37 and exit 41. Get off and get on the West Frontage Road. Come on down and we will take care of you.
Again, that was George Pence of George's Berry Patch. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.